This podcast is brought to you by Poncho and GoDaddy. This show will give you a special code to get great discounts at GoDaddy.com. Got something to say? Blog it with your free quick blog from GoDaddy.
Wake up, check your aggregator. Get up, check your aggregator for yeast renewal. Get up, get your headphones on. Get up, get your headphones on for yeast renewal. Get on the bus, get on the bus, get on the bus. Listen to Mad Wesley. She'll cheer you up. She'll get you off. If you know what I mean.
Eureka!
Hang I'm supposed to cheer you up at midnight. Hello, everyone. It's Madge. You know, I haven't checked my stats in about 6 months, seriously. Audio, video, anything. Because I figure if I wait long enough, I can kind of pretend that there's all of a sudden millions of people that have discovered me that weren't there before. All thanks to Kiko of Visitronics Radio. What a fucking moron this one is. Madge, you would get presents if you gave more love to your audience. Well, yeah, then I'd be a fucking retarded person, wouldn't I? Then I wouldn't be me anymore, you stupid fucking bitch. God, douche.
Extra, extra.
Fuck.
Hey, look at the headlines, historical news.
I don't want any presents anyway. Just extra, something to fucking talk
extra.
About.
They're drawing a red line around the biggest scoop of the decade.
That's right.
A barrel of charm, a fabulous grill.
Okay.
The biggest little headline in vaudeville. Presenting in person at 5'2".
Now, male sex anatomy is mainly outside the body.
Okay.
It consists of the penis and the skin sac or scrotum holds the testicles.
Okay. Scrotum.
You know, I get so many people who will say to me, Dr. Liswood, yes, what's the average size of the relaxed penis? Well, scientists have come up with a measure, and now you know exactly what the measure is.
What is it, Dr. Liswood?
The penis measures about 2.5 to 3 inches in length. I don't expect you to run back and measure, but I think that it's very important for you to relax. People will worry about the size of the penis. I know that your friends like to brag. And I don't want to deflate them in any way. But please
believe me,
it doesn't matter what the size of the penis is. All we care about is that it functions. And you have to understand that once you're relaxed, once you feel comfortable, once you feel at ease, you're going to be able to function
very nicely.
She's
right there. That's right.
Almost 99% of all men who worry about themselves, worry about their potency, when they're examined, they found they're perfectly normal. It's
perfectly
a psychic
normal.
Impotency. So please don't worry about it and don't be concerned about the size of the penis. The penis is made up of a shaft or body and a head of the penis that we call glans.
Glans.
G-A-N-S.
We do. Glands.
The body has many large blood vessels. The head of the penis has smaller blood vessels. During sexual excitement, these blood vessels become filled with blood, and because there are larger blood vessels in the body of the penis, the body of the penis is much more rigid than the head of the penis, so that when the penis enters the vagina, it can't possibly do any damage to the vaginal canal. Since the vaginal canal is a curved canal, when the penis becomes erect, it forms an
Eat
angle
out,
to conform to the configuration of the vaginal canal. Some men worry when they notice that the erect penis has a sort of angle to it. This is perfectly normal. Please don't worry about it. The skin sac or scrotum may have enlarged blood vessels on it. These we call varicoceles. That, too, is nothing to worry about. One testicle hangs lower than the other, and that's normal. I had one man who was panicked by the fact that he suddenly realized that one testicle was much lower than the other.
Oh.
And he told me that he thought he was abnormal, despite the fact that physicians had examined him and had told him that he was perfectly all right. And when I asked him what his worry was, he said, you know, I thought we were supposed to be symmetrical. And one of my testicles hangs much lower than the other.
You want them smacking in each other,
and
do you?
I said, that's perfectly normal.
Perfectly
if
normal.
They were side by side, you couldn't sit down. And he felt much easier once he was reassured that this is a perfectly normal part of his anatomy.
Hey, Liz,
the testicle measures about an inch in thickness. And it's made up of such very
Sorry.
That if you were to stretch the tubules out and measure them, they'd measure about 1,000 feet. And it's in these tubules that the male sex hormones are produced and the sperm cells are produced. As the sperm cells are produced in these tubules, they're pushed up into the body and stored
we
in
call that blue
seed
balls.
Sacs or seminal vesicles. Any hollow sac in the body, over-distended, tends to empty itself.
Okay.
If these
distended.
Seed sacs are like over-distended, then you will have what is known as a wet dream or a nocturnal emission. This is perfectly normal,
perfectly normal.
To worry about.
Perfectly normal.
Of course,
perfectly
if a married man has a wet dream, I simply think it's a pity, but it's nothing to worry about. So
Dr. Leswood, you are a card. Dr.
As
Leswood.
As the sperm pick up fluid in the seminal vesicles, they come down along a tube and they enter the prostate gland. Now, the prostate gland is a muscular gland and contracts as though you were to squeeze a bulb syringe and shoots the ejaculate through the urethral canal and spurts.
I'm getting hot with my vagina,
this
Dr. Leswood.
This, too, is perfectly normal.
I'm a lesbian.
And this is what you can expect, and this usually takes place when you have an orgasm. It's interesting for you to know that in every
ejaculate, I'll tell you what's interesting, Dr.
there
Leswood.
Are from 200 to 500 million sperms. And you remember I told you that it was very important to have this large number of sperm as they are needed to form the chemical substance which dissolves the covering of the egg to allow the chosen sperm to enter the egg.
The lips and the eggs.
As soon as the sperm enters the egg, the type of individual that's going to be from point of view of inherited characteristics is determined then and there.
Unless
the type of individual that child is going to be is dependent upon the environment the child comes into.
That's
if a child is loved and wanted,
and hated,
that child
like
grows
Cheryl.
Up much more securely
That's
than
right.
a child that is an accidental
or
intruder
or ugly,
or is not wanted.
Or ugly
and
like Cheryl.
Do accept
there
the
was
child.
This guy at the pool
the
who was so fat his belly button was prolapsed.
Because sex, information, and education
work that out,
actually
bitch.
Starts the minute a child is born.
Right, or...
I know I love you. Maybe that's why I'm afraid. I could use a beer or some psych. I got a nice stack of records waiting for you. I got a cat. The rug with you. I got some nice clothes on, baby. No, no, do that. It's open night. Tonight's the morning.
Here,
in the dark of the night, slip back to a gem, hear our favorite tunes while making love.
played an important part in the sex lives of men and women. The Bible records the strength of Samson was in his hair. Egyptian ladies of high rank in the days of the pharaohs used the reddish tints of the henna plant to make themselves sexually attractive. And then again, in contrast, there have been certain societies which have found hair unattractive. So they either plucked it out, cut it, or shaved it off. As a matter of historical fact, during the Renaissance period of Italian history, women shaved or plucked not only their eyebrows, but all body hairs. This is highly evident in the paintings of young and beautiful women by the formal fathers of the Renaissance period in Europe. For some reason or other, no one can be rational about hair. In the Mediterranean countries, most women never shave their underarm hair or leg hair. They believe a luxuriant growth of hair in these specific areas denotes sexuality, and as long as their men find hair sexually attractive, they will continue to let it be. On the other hand, the English, the Americans, and most Scandinavians feel that underarm hair is unattractive, and so remove this unwanted hair with the use of a razor, special depilatory cream, and sprays, and or electrolysis. Women rarely remove their pubic hair. When they do, it is because their love partners find them sexually attractive that way. Conversely, some women prefer their lovers sexier without any hair, either on their heads, bodies, or sex organs. Of course, professional models in the photographic and artistic field are often expected to be without any hirsute adornment. In this highly revealing film, you will find a female shave her pubic hair, which allows for a detailed, close examination of the vulva and all its parts. The clitoris, the mons veneris, and the outer and inner labias. There are many men and women who prefer a shaven pubis for hygienic reasons as well as for sensual reasons. As we stated earlier, no one can be rational about hair.
I'm not going to repeat the word because I want to finish the gig tonight. It's, they said it was vernacular for it. Ten little words. It's really chic. There's two four-letter words in a preposition. I can't, I wish I could tell you the word. It's not the same meaning of words. That's weird how they manifested that word as homosexual. Because I don't. That relates to any contemporary chick I know or would know or would love or would marry. You know. And, now, when I took the bus, I finished the show. I said that word, you know, the kind of word. And he's going to go and see me. Money, and the sergeant went down. You know the word you said? I said, well, what was it? What? That word. Oh, yeah. Well, running this against the Lord, I'm going to take it out. I think it's against the Lord to say it and to do it. But I didn't do it, man. I know, but I just have to tell you that all the time. Okay. All right. Now, get in the way again. And the one he's true, because he said you broke the law, and now the other guy, I got a wife and kid. I don't want to hear that crap at all. I don't get involved emotionally with it. What do you mean I want to hear that crap? Do I have to do that to you?
Matt, you make it hard.
No.
Matt, you make
never
it
say the
hard.
Word, no. Never said honest to God, never
with the lapse of an angel.
How long are you married? 18 years. You ever chip your wife? Never. Never one time in 18 years you chip it down your leg. Never one time. Then I love you. Because you're a spiritual guy, but if you're lying, you'll spend some dead time in purgatory. You know, we really got really into it. Now, in the court, same thing. Judge Aaron Abramitz, a red-headed junk judge, who a real pathetic in there, with thick fingers and a homemade glass eye. Tough one, right? He comes in, blah, blah, blah. Swear that he didn't, but he said, Your Honor, he said, blah, blah, blah. The judge, he said, blah, blah, blah. Then the guy really yanked it up. That's right. I didn't believe it. There was a guy up on the stage in front of women in a mixed audience saying, blah, blah, blah. The judge. Oh, this I never heard. Blah, blah, blah. He said, blah, blah, blah. He said, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to lie to you. It's in the minutes. I'm not going to lie to you. All right. the DA. The guy said, blah, blah, blah. Look at him. He's smug. He's had to repent. Then they dug something. They sort of like saying, blah, blah, blah. Because they said it a few extra times. Oh, look, do me a favor, too, because this is very self-indulgent. But never applaud, because it really breaks my pace, and I hate it. I don't know what to do. I can't smell like one another. They don't want you to do something funny, and that's nothing. So don't do anything about it. Now, Lee got so embarrassed, blah, blah, blah. The bailiff is yelling. What do you say? Shut up, you blah, blah, blah. They were yelling another court. What do you say? Blah, blah, blah. God damn, it's good to say blah, blah, blah. That blah, blah, blah. That blah, blah, blah. That blah.
We'll be right back. Everything you run for you come. Everything you fling rocks to.
State Science Institute. I had nothing to do with it, said Dr. Robert Stadler. He stood still by the side of his desk with the uncomfortable feeling of having missed some beat of time, of not knowing how long the preceding moment had lasted. He pronounced the words aloud in a tone of rancorous sarcasm directed at whoever had made him say it. He shrugged, resting on the belief that self-mockery is an act of virtue. The shrug was the emotional equivalent of the sentence, "You're Robert Stadler. Don't act like a high school neurotic."
Once, my brain
sat down at his desk and pushed the book aside with the back of his hand.
12 billion neurons.
Dr. Floyd Ferris arrived half an hour later.
50 billion supporting cells.
But my car broke down again on the way from Washington, and I had a hell of a time trying to find somebody to fix it. There's getting to be so damn few cars out on the road that half the service stations
Once,
are closed.
There were 1.5
There was more annoyance than apology in his voice.
Shed
he sat down without waiting for an invitation
annually.
To do so. Dr. Floyd Ferris would not have been noticed as particularly handsome in any other profession, but in the one he had chosen, he was always described as that good-looking scientist. He was 6 feet tall and 45 years old, but he managed to
Once
look taller
a month,
and younger.
I
he had an air of immaculate
grooming and
a ballroom grace of motion.
And
but
in
his clothes
my lifetime,
were severe, his suits being usually black or midnight blue.
New skins.
He had a finely traced mustache, and his smooth black hair made the Institute boys say that he used the same shoe polish on both ends of it. He did not mind repeating, in the tone of a joke on himself, that a movie producer once said he would cast him for the part of a titled European
my
gigolo.
Heart.
He had begun his career
muscle,
as a biologist,
the size
but that was forgotten
of a
long ago.
Fruit.
He was famous as the top coordinator of the State Science Institute. Dr. Stadler glanced at him with astonishment. The lack of apology was unprecedented, and said dryly, "It seems to me that you were spending a great deal of your time in Washington." "But Dr. Stadler, wasn't it you who once paid me the compliment of calling me the watchdog of this institute?" said Dr. Ferris pleasantly. "Isn't that my most essential duty? A few of your duties seem to be accumulating right around this place. Before I forget it, would you mind telling me what's going on here about that oil shortage mess?" He could not understand why Dr. Ferris's face tightened into an injured look. "You'll permit me to say that this is unexpected, and unwarranted," said Dr. Ferris in that tone of formality which conceals pain and reveals martyrdom.
"Every year.
None of the authorities involved have found cause for criticism. We have just submitted a detailed report on the progress of the work to date to the Bureau of Economic Planning and National Resources, and Mr. Wesley Mooch has expressed himself as satisfied.
Once
we have done our best on that project. We have heard no one else describe
heart.
It as a mess. Considering the difficulties of the terrain, the hazards of the fire, and the fact that it has been only 6 months since we..." "What are you talking about?" asked Dr. Stadler. "The Wyatt Reclamation Project. Isn't that what you asked me?" "No," said Dr. Stadler. "No, I..." "Wait a moment. Let me get this straight. I seem to recall something about this institute taking charge of a reclamation project. What is it that you're reclaiming? Oil, said Dr. Ferris. The Wyatt oil fields. That was a fire, wasn't it? In Colorado? That was... Wait a moment. That was the man who set fire to his own oil wells. I'm inclined to believe that that's a rumor created by public hysteria, said Dr. Ferris dryly. A rumor with some undesirable, unpatriotic implications. I wouldn't put too much faith in those newspaper stories. Personally, I believe that it was an accident and that Ellis Wyatt perished in the fire. Well, who owns those fields now? Nobody. At the moment. There being no will or heirs. The government has taken charge of operating the fields as a measure of public necessity for 7 years. Well, why did they come to us? Such an unlikely assignment to oil. Of us. The project is fully successful. Have you produced any oil? No. But we have succeeded in forcing a flow from one of the wells to the extent of 6.5 gallons. This, of course, is merely of experimental significance. But you must take into consideration the fact that we had to spend 3 full months just to put out the fire, which has now been totally, almost totally extinguished. We have a much tougher problem than wire at all. We've been starting from scratch. With the distinctive record of an act of vicious antisocial sabotage. I mean to say, it is a difficult problem, but there is no doubt that we will be able to solve it. Well, what I really asked you about was the oil shortage here in the Institute. The level of temperature maintained in this building all winter was outrageous. They told me that they had to conserve it. Clearly, you could have seen to it that their matter of keeping this place adequately supplied with such things as oil was handled more efficiently. Oh, is that what you had in mind, Dr. Stadler? Oh, but I am so sorry. The words came with a bright smile of relief on Dr. Ferris's face. His solicitous manner returned. Do you mean that the temperature was low enough to cause you discomfort? I mean that I nearly froze to death. But that is unthinkable. Why didn't they tell me? Please accept my personal apology, Dr. Stadler, and rest assured that you will never be inconvenienced again. The only excuse I can offer for our maintenance department is that the shortage of fuel was not due to their negligence. It was, oh, I realize that you would not know about it, and such matters should not take up your invaluable attention. But you see, the oil shortage last winter was a nationwide crisis. Why? For heaven's sake, don't tell me that those Wyatt fields were the only source of oil in the country. No. The sudden disappearance of a major supply wrought havoc in the entire oil market. So the government has decided to impose oil rationing in order to protect the essential. I did obtain an unusually large quota for the institute, mainly by the special favor of people in special connections. But, I'm going to give you my love. I'm going to give you my love. I'm going to give you my love. Next winter, we shall have the wire fields back in production, and conditions will return to normal. Besides, as far as this institute is concerned, I may also be looking for our furnace to be cold, and it's begun next month. Only the Stockton Foundry in Colorado closed down suddenly without notice. They were casting parts for our furnaces. But Andrew Stockton retired quite unexpectedly, and now we have to wait till his nephew reopens the plant. I see. Well, I trust that you will take care of it among all your other activities. Dr. Stadler shrugged with annoyance. It is becoming a little ridiculous. The number of technological ventures that an institution of science has to handle for the government. I know, it can't be avoided. By the way, what is private, Dad? Dr. Phelps' eyes sharpened. An odd, bright glance of alertness seemed startled, but not frightened.
Shame for me, yeah.
Where did you hear about Project X?
I want to be a master, man!
I heard a couple of your younger boys saying something about it to an aerosmith. What did you expect from amateurs? They told me it was something very secret. Oh, right, Dr. Phelps. Which the government has entrusted, and it is of utmost importance that we get no move about it. What's the X? Zion. Project Zion. That is a code name, of course. The work has to do with family, but I'm sure that you're not in it. It's a purely technological undertaking. We have to spare the destroyer. There's no time for the technological undertaking. It would be advisable to refrain from mentioning the words Project X to anyone Dr. Stanton. Oh, all right, all right. I must say I do not enjoy discussions of that kind. But of course, and I wouldn't forgive myself if I allowed your time to be taken up by such things. Please feel certain that you may safely leave. He made a movement to rise. Now it's in
darkness. masturbate.
A dry cunt is a prolapsed cunt.
Nothing as sexually inviting to a man as the clean, okay, feminine smell of a woman.
That's
neglecting
right.
Neglecting personal
vagina.
Cleanliness is not only yes. unhealthy, it is an insult to one's sex partner.
Right, not like dick
there
cheese.
There is an assortment of essential hygienic products readily available
you took one
to
side,
women.
I took the other, Mr.
Products
Liswood.
Sold over-the-counter in drugstores, department stores,
Mr.
and through mail-order houses,
Liswood.
Which can effectively help women to become sexually more attractive
okay.
and sexually desirable.
Okay.
One of these products is deodorant towelettes. Which
oh,
can be conveniently carried
good.
In the purse or pocket. They are very easy to use.
This guy is
they
insane.
They can be used frequently throughout the day.
God,
they cleanse and deodorize the outer vaginal
yeah.
area and keep a woman
Christ.
Odor-free all day long.
Okay, I
vaginal
can't take
foam
him right
aerosol
now.
Sprays.
No, he's really just, it's too much. It really, it's too much. He's insulting my lesbianhood, my clitoral hood for that matter. So I fucked up. I wanted to talk to you about some things. I played the Simon Toon song. Play it. Simon Toon remade the My Kind of Dykes song he did a while back. Right. Yeah, let's hear it.
This is my new movie. This is Alex and this is Emma. Kate Hudson, Rip Taylor in the movie Rob Reiner directed called Alex and Emma. These are my knees in June.
They gave me the screen.
Now this can only happen to a guy like me.
A dry cunt is a prolapsed.
And only happen
Oops.
With a dyke like this. So may I say to each of you most gratefully.
That hole is hairy.
As she shows each one of you her fist.
A coffee-eating, dog-smelling, pussy-eating bitch.
My kind of dyke.
Scientists have come up with a measure, and now you know exactly what the measure is. The penis measures about 2.5 to 3 inches in length.
You can't match her podcast and
the penis measures about 2.5 to 3 inches in length.
Making me think.
The penis measures about 2.5 to 3 inches in length. I don't expect you to run back and measure, but I think that it's very important for you to relax.
Dr. Liswood, why are you interrupting Simon Toon? He made that nice song for me. Dr. Liswood, Dr. Liswood, Dr. Liswood, Dr. Liswood. Scott McClellan wrote a book. It's stupid. I read that. I'm glad that part got erased. Anyway, he blamed Bush, but, you know, Congress isn't going to obey their constitutional requirement, obligation to prolapse the prolapse. What do you call that? Not a prolapse. When you got to put impeachment? I don't know. Whatever. Your mother smells. I don't know. That's all. Bye. Not really. Perhaps I'm a little grateful it's dead from a 1970 turd. And get fucked.
You know, I get so many people who will say to me, Dr. Listwood, what's the average size of the relaxed penis? Well, scientists have come up with a measure, and now you know exactly what the measure is. The penis measures about 2.5 to 3 inches in length.
The best and the brightest served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show and Limelight.